Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, Corey Majors alongside Fred Davis, Alec Medford in the Pimp Cup. Can we also call it the Pimp Cup, Alec? Is that something we can do?
I think we can. It seems to be universal.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure that that wasn't a G-Bag specific thing. That was something that was a station team kind of event.
I've definitely ripped it on the weekends when I've hosted or holidays or whatnot. So if it is against the rules, then I guess I'm screwed.
I was very excited yesterday when I got a message from Lucius, and it said, "When did this happen, bro?" And somebody had messaged him and said Corey's Steven impression was radio gold. Yeah, I was like, "Oh yeah, I think that was the first segment." And then I heard it on G-Bag last night, and I was like, oh, sweet. I appreciate that. That made me feel pretty good. I wasn't trying to do a voice impression as much as an ideal impression
If you didn't know any better, and somebody would have said, hey, this is Stephen Jones explaining gas. that made sense to me.
Yeah.
I really did.
I don't want to tell you too many details because that wouldn't be fair to the gasoline industry. Now, one of the things that I'm hearing a little more yesterday from G-Bag is there are like a bunch of different theories on the Mica situation right now. And again, we will keep you abreast to all the stuff going on in the baseball world. As soon as something happens for the Rangers, it'll come down the pike and we'll have it up for you. But we have other places we can navigate to throughout the show as Fred Davis joins us. Kevin is out. He is somewhere in the world right now. He's not somewhere in Germany quite yet. I do know that. So he's going to be leaving today. So that is the plan for him. Good luck to him.
Nice.
But the Cubs are among teams trying to get Mackenzie Gore with 2+ years to go. No urgency to trade him. Nothing close yet. But they're keeping an ear out for something like that. Now, the Mica thing, maybe they have had a couple of situations where they thought the deal was done already. Steven right. and them thought it was done already. That's what Broadus keeps kind of putting out there.
Yeah, he tweeted something out similar to that this morning.
And something also with years. The Cowboys with that fifth year, they always want that, and the player does not.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like that's where there's a little bit of an impasse. And also, Sean this morning said that there's a little whisper that there was the Mogoletta said, we want to be last. We want to wait until everything, all the leaves fall, if you will, as Jerry said last year.
Well, he's busy pumping Adam Schefter full of Christian Wilkins stories.
Yeah.
So right now, Mike is kind of low on the totem pole of things that need to get done.
But we want to see where everybody else's number is so then we can say that's the number we want for this year. And we'll
who are you waiting
out
on? Trey Hendrickson?
There. Well, so that's enough. Trey Hendrickson might be the one that they are waiting on. Now, will he get 40? If that's a 41, is that a number that might work for him? That's the question that they got to figure out. And the Browns or the Bengals are, they're
notoriously cheap.
They're just so cheap. So we have no clue how that's going to land. But Hendrickson, I don't know if I believe it wasn't fair to my teammates after he's already missed part of it. Yeah. But that's what he's
saying. Probably because the fines added up.
Yeah, that's what it really is.
I mean, I think that's what it came down to because he's losing probably, what, $100,000 a day? I don't care who you are. That adds up.
Choppy said something this morning that I forgot to discuss with them whenever we did Crosstalk. Maybe we can talk about it a little tomorrow. But he said, and that's right there, proof that the players, NFLPA is weak. The players are weak. I feel like it's kind of weird when you're Trey Hendrickson and you're the one dude holding out. Like, you're really holding out.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there saying, you feel like you're on an island. You feel like you don't have that support whenever you're that one guy. Unless the NFLPA is calling you every day and saying, no, we got your back. We're fighting for you. We're going to step out there for you. It feels like it's you and your agent. And a lot of times these guys become merchants of their own instead of being what baseball is, a united front against the ownership.
Now, baseball is a lot. I mean, let's call it what it is. Baseball has the best union in all of sports. You could argue for a minute that maybe the NBA union was strong, but then, you know, when they incorporated the second apron, we've seen how that's kind of had a trickle down effect as far as that goes. But no, you're absolutely right. And the thing about Trey Hendrickson, and I think back to when Chris Jones was holding out in Kansas City. I mean, to the point where he missed the first game. And of course, he had those two Guido-looking agents sitting next to him in the box.
They
right?
looked so uncomfortable. I mean, next to the largest man.
It was ridiculous,
man.
Right? And these two jamokes looked like they ran a fantasy football league in their spare time. But you know, and he got the fines worked out. And so but at the same time, too, you hear like some fines you can waive, some you can't.
Yeah.
And so you wonder, to your point and to Choppy's point about the union, is that something where it's in the language, it's with the ownership? Because the Bengals don't strike me as a team that are willing to relent on fines.
Nah.
Whereas Clark Hunt was like, okay, look, we went back and forth, boom, Brett Veach, whatever, got the deal done. Chris Jones comes back, everything's hunky-dory since then.
Let's win championships.
Let's go win championships. Yeah. And of course, then you've also got other star guys around. You had won a Super Bowl, so you got that in your back pocket where, I mean, you know, you and I are the same age, and I, me and Blake joke about this, you know, him being 25, is that, you know, when we talk about the Clippers. Mm-hmm. I said, look, for guys our age,
Clippers are dump.
I don't care. Lob City was just a blip on the radar.
That's true.
I grew up with the Michael Olowokandi Clippers.
Yes.
Okay, that's what I will forever, until they win a championship, all right, they will forever be the Michael Olowokandi Clippers to me. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Whoever just floated through there.
You know, Danny Manning first year. Then, oh, by the way, let's blow my knee out that season. So, but the Bengals are still, I don't care how good the Bengals are, you know, 3 years removed from a Super Bowl, you're still the Bengals.
Yeah. Still same ownership, too.
Right? You're still the Bungles, yep, as far as I'm concerned, right? Until proven otherwise, right? Mm-hmm. So there's just sometimes when you've got that reputation of being a poorly run, cheap organization. And that's kind of what you're up against right now with the Bengals.
Yeah, I like to call them the Mighty Bengals of Cincinnati, sarcastically. But then they had
cool
the one year where they were good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that happened there. This is we're going to do some NFL overreaction or reality.
Let's overreact.
Free agent remaining edition.
Okay.
Amari Cooper, this is from NFL.com. They suggest some of these guys where their perfect landing spots could be.
Yeah.
Amari Cooper to the Los Angeles Chargers.
Oh, 100%. I mean, who are you throwing to down there? Quentin Johnson. I mean, dude, Michael, what's our boy? Michael.
Yeah, Ladd McConkey. That's a good one right there.
Who?
Mike Williams?
Mike Williams. Hello. Mike
decided
Williams
to retire.
Shows up one day, says, you know what? I'm good. I got $83 million in the bank. I'm going to call it a day. I mean, who are you throwing? Quentin Johnson still can't catch.
Oh, man. Have you seen the videos?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's year three, okay? Like, we're past the point of you getting any better, mm-hmm, all right? So, it's Ladd McConkey and the Pips over with the Chargers.
The 817, Fred, you got to be careful with Corey, bro. When you say, let's call it what it is, he will literally call it what it is. Yeah, so
you'll read whatever's on the prompter?
Saying, don't lie, Kevin went back to rehab.
Yeah.
Back in rehab, prayers and thoughts. He went to rehab again. Mm-hmm. Alec, can you confirm, yes or no?
This dude in his glasses.
That he's got his glasses.
Looks like Colin Firth
he's
back there.
This is going to send it to Kevin.
That's right.
Is Kevin in rehab or is he helping children?
I feel like two things can be true at once. What if it's a little bit of a double mission?
Oh, man.
He's got two goals. He's trying to help himself and help others.
So that's part of his community service.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, they said,
helping children.
Hey, sometimes the best method of healing is distraction.
Yeah.
So he's going to go out there and help other people, and the happiness and the joy he's going to spread is going to help his sobriety.
The 469, blink if Kevin is in rehab. I have to blink at some point.
You're gonna
have to. It's just going to happen, and I appreciate that. Gabe Davis to the New York Giants.
Now, dude, I didn't realize he was still a free agent.
These are suggestions. I'm not reporting anything. These are just suggestions. Gabe Davis was a dude that there were some people that were really high on him.
Yeah.
They were like, Buffalo, oh man, this is his time to shine.
Mm.
And he was fast, but he just didn't turn out. Now, they have Slayton, Malik Nabers. They're looking pretty good up there as long as they can get their quarterback can get them the ball.
Yeah.
But would Gabe Davis to the Giants do anything for you?
I mean, look, he was a disaster in Jacksonville, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that was the team that you thought. I mean, look, the fact that Jacksonville punted on him as quickly as they did kind of gives you an idea. Now, I don't know. Did he sign a one-year deal in Jax? Was that part of the deal? I thought he signed a multi-year deal. Either way.
Too.
I mean.
But then they said Brian Thomas Jr. is our stud. And they, I feel they felt you like having a multiple, but he just did not work there in Jacksonville. Yeah,
which,
all.
You know, that's not a total indictment on your career. I mean, look, they got rid of Christian Kirk, too. So there is that.
They shouldn't have signed Christian Kirk to that deal in the first place. He wasn't deserving of that contract, although people were higher on him.
Pay you.
Yeah, you know? You're damn right about that. And they'll try and squeeze everything out of you.
Absolutely.
So,
if you want to, and that's one of those situations where it's like, look, is my career going to get any better if I go to Jacksonville? Probably not. But will I make generational money for my family? To hell with it.
The 817, Kevin's in the same rehab I'm in right now. No, he's not. Wow. No, wow. He is not. Don't lie, fan text. No. Nobody, well, hopefully nobody's dying. Oh. Jason Kidd, from Keenan Allen to the Pittsburgh Steelers. How would you feel about seeing him alongside DK Metcalf, Jonu Smith, and Pat Freiermuth?
I wouldn't hate that move. You know, the one thing about him is he is a possession type receiver, especially at this stage of his career. And I think with Aaron Rodgers at this stage of his career, like he needs an underneath guy. Right. And he's shown that, you know, he likes those kind of Randall Cobb, you know, sit in a position. I mean, especially as Randall Cobb got older in his career, where, you know, find the spot, soft spot in the zone, boom, sit down, done. And again, he's a guy that he's plug and play, and he's a pro.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you know what you're going to get. And I mean, look, that offense is going to light the world on fire, but he can move the chains.
Yeah. That's, I think you got a really good point about Aaron Rodgers respects the pro too.
100%.
The guy, and especially a guy that he can move around on the line and then create that little space.
Ain't nothing Keenan Allen hadn't seen.
DK Metcalf can go beat somebody. Keenan Allen, you give him the space. That's really good. Yesterday, I believe I saw a play from Pittsburgh that they lined up, no back in the backfield.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers and four tight ends.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh. And I was like, that's Arthur Smith just sitting there going, let's F around and see what we can create. And Aaron Rodgers hates throwing to tight ends anyway, so that wouldn't work. He's always hated that. Every year you would draft an Aaron Rodgers tight end and you'd be like, this is the year in fantasy that this tight end is going to do it. And then he'd have like 17 catches. He'd be like,
you know, who was that? Dadgummit. Who was that big dude he threw to for a little while? I don't know. It'll come to me. I don't remember. I can see
Finley.
Was it Jermichael Finley?
You had Mercedes Lewis.
That's who I'm thinking of.
Jared Cook got us a couple times.
Here's the other thing too, though, about Aaron Rodgers. I don't think he's averse to throwing to the tight ends. I just don't think he's ever had. I think Jermichael Finley was supposed to be that guy. He's always had the big lumbering tight end. He's never had a Jake Ferguson type.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Saying?
That's the thing about Aaron Rodgers I've always felt like is that he's never had that dude. We thought Jermichael Finley might be that guy. He really never panned out to be in that guy that could give you 40, 50, 60 receptions and be a guy that would break a couple tackles and take it to the house or at least give you a big gain.
The other thing, too, is when you have a Devontae Adams.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
A Jordy Nelson, you know, you have a history.
A Randall Cobb.
Kind of guys. And you know I can out-throw these cornerbacks.
Yeah.
Then you're going to take the big chunks.
No, he absolutely.
You're going to take the advantage of that.
And when he's got a guy that he trusts, you're exactly right. He's going to, you're getting 10 targets a game.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Here's a name that popped up regarding the Cowboys, Will Hernandez. Now, the Tyler Guyton injury obviously kind of puts
Nate
the
Thomas,
Cowboys
people,
in a weird place.
Get used to it.
I'm of the belief that they are playing Nate Thomas over Awesome Richard. Now,
you ready for this analogy?
Because they think Nate Thomas needs the practice reps right now. That's where I am mentally. I think they're like, he needs to be ready to be a backup, if nothing else.
Yeah.
Let's get him out there. Awesome's going to get his backup. We know what we got in him. And whenever the season starts, if Tyler's not ready to go, we will go ahead and rock with Awesome, but we have Nate Thomas prepared.
You ready for You were ready for a way too early Cowboys prediction?
Yeah.
Okay. Nate Thomas, and this came to me last night. Do you ever get where would you say you get the most random ideas?
My brain.
Well, I get that, but I'm saying where physically would you be?
Oh, the bathroom.
Because you sometimes get ideas in your foot.
Yeah. What? Okay.
You said your brain.
Okay. No. Yeah. Are you saying in the bathroom or the shower?
Right. Like where you might be. Okay. Times. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Spend a lot of time letting that water run all over my body and thinking.
Uh-huh. Please continue.
So, what if Nate Thomas is the Cowboys' Brock Purdy? Okay, because here's where I'm going with this. We totally overlook the fact that John Lynch, we all, love to, oh my God, what a great GM. Okay, you drafted Trey Lance third overall. Mm-hmm. The 49ers do not get crucified enough
for making that decision.
For one of the most absurd and maybe one of the worst draft picks of the last 10 years. All right, but you got bailed out because you got Brock Purdy with Mr. Irrelevant pick, okay?
Oh, I like this, actually. I like this theory.
Like the fact that you got Brock. Otherwise, if you didn't have Brock Purdy, where would you be right now if you're the San Francisco 49ers?
You'd be the
laughing stock of the NFL. My point in all that is this. You took Tyler Guyton in the first round, and I'm not saying, look, Tyler Guyton may turn out to be a stud left or right tackle. But dare I say, could Nate Thomas, who we've heard about his power, his agility, okay, didn't get to see him last year. We don't really know what he could have been last year because he hurts his knee, whatever, and is on the IL or injured reserve all year long. So I'm just saying, could it be where the Cowboys luck out for as much as they've been moribund in the first round the last couple of years? Could it be they finally strike gold and get themselves a left tackle in Nate Thomas?
Just
who holds it down for the next 2 or 3 years.
Accidentally.
Because, look, wouldn't we agree the Cowboys are due?
Yes.
For a find in the first, a draft pick find. I mean, let's call it what it is. And we'll talk about, I'd love to ask Mickey this tomorrow. We just ran out of time. And I heard the morning show talking about this. Mozzie's been uninspiring.
That's true.
Okay. And we haven't seen one thing yet on video that suggests, I mean, look, we've seen clip on, I mean, look, Kyrie Elam might as well be Deion Sanders at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can we get a Glenn Dorsey like play out of Mozzie Smith at this point?
That'd be fantastic. Nada. To get some. Yeah.
So I think the Cowboys are due for at least a late round find, and maybe just maybe it's Nate Thomas.
I accept the theory, and I look forward to hoping that it happens.
Put it in the universe, people.
Coming up next here on the KNC Masterpiece, it's time for AM on the FM.
We got the question of the day, plus, is this an accident or just a genius idea? Next on the Fan.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, seeing a lot of different things being floated out right now, but nothing in concrete regarding the trade deadline for the Rangers and all of the other teams in baseball right now. But we'll make sure that we get it to you whenever it does happen, because it might and it will, and I promise it's going to be fun. But a lot of people have been asking for the return of Fan Phenom. Mm. Now, Fred knows how Fan Phenom can turn out as Blake.
I do.
Our current nighttime host, Blake Elliott, is a Fan Phenom winner. Kevin Gray, who has gone on to work with the Mavericks. Nick Angstad,
mm-hmm.
who is on the Locked On Mavs podcast. Lots of talent come through the fans, Fan Phenom, and there's a plenty of opportunities. We got four of them. First one, next Thursday, August 7th, at Jake's 7910 State Highway 78 in Sachse. So be ready for that next Thursday. And we'll be at Jake's in off Marsh next Friday. So we got a lot going on this week. But yes, if you want to try out for the Fan Phenom, get ready. It could be your time. Right now, it is time for AM on the FM.
What does this button do? Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful. One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it. It is time for AM on the FM. My name is Alec Medford, the man that they call the pride of Mansfield, Texas, 877-881-1053. That is the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line to answer today's question of the day. Plus, was this an honest mistake or an honest idea? that someone was trying to push. We'll get to that here in just a little bit. But gentlemen, it's going to be a fun day. One, because we already have Fred in prime Fred mode. And two, it's MLB trade deadline day, so it's getting insane. I saw a crazy tweet that it looks like the Foo Fighters and Nine Inch Nails are literally trading drummers. Like, they are switching drummers.
And someone a bassist to be named later.
Yeah, and someone quote tweeted, they're like, man, the trade deadline is crazy. I'm like, that is actually incredible timing.
I like it.
Yeah, today is going to be really interesting.
Better band. Nine Inch Nails or Foo Fighters?
I'm a Foo Fighters guy.
Okay.
It's nothing against Nine Inch Nails. I love them. But
okay.
I grew up with Foo Fighters. So.
Better Hurt rendition, Johnny Cash or Nine Inch Nails?
Johnny Cash.
Okay. And Trent Reznor said so. So he's...
Well, what's he going to say? I'm a Nine Inch Nails guy, so...
I will say this. I'm a big Foo Fighters fan, but I will admit that Nine Inch Nails is better.
Absolutely.
I've always been a Foo Fighters fan, but yeah. I know really special music when I hear it, and that's Nine Inch Nails does it.
Yeah, like it. It's a total nostalgia pick for me. It's nothing against Nine Inch Nails, but we're going to go to the National Day calendar, gentlemen. It's National Intern Day. Had some fun with that in crosstalk. National Avocado Day. It's National Mutt Day and National Raspberry Cake Day, but the most important... It's National Chili Dog Day.
Oh,
National
man.
Chili Dog Day. Very specific and obscure holiday. It's my favorite kind of thing in life. And it got me thinking, chili dogs, it's not great for you. It's not. But it's one of the things that if it's at a cookout, if it's at some sort of establishment like a baseball game or something, I'm not going to say no.
To a chili dog?
Yeah, I'm not going to say no. It's a guilty pleasure food.
Okay.
So, that's going to be the question of the day, gentlemen. 877-881-1053. What is your guilty pleasure food right now? And I say right now because chili dog, it's not a year-round thing for me. If it's like middle of December, I'm probably not going to reach for one. But, you know, at a baseball game while it's 100 degrees outside and it's nice, like 74 inside.
See, that's a ballsy pick by you, man. Chili in the middle of the summer?
Sucking on chili dogs.
I mean, that feels like a summer food.
See, I would think December, because all I'm going to say is this. I'm not disparaging your choice. However.
Sounds like you are.
Well, I'm just questioning it, and I'm going to say why. Because I would think, I know in the Midwest and in the New England area where I lived for a time, chili's a winter cuisine because it is hot and you like it in the cold weather. I would just think that splashing on chili onto your hot dog in the middle of July just doesn't sound enticing to me. Each their own.
It reminds me of my childhood in the summer.
Chili dogs.
After baseball practice.
Y'all are wild.
Well, also, chili dogs is very inexpensive. You know, you got a 69-cent can of chili, of nice. Hormel or Wolf. You got $1.14 for all the buns.
Yeah.
And then the hot dogs, that's going to cost about $2.
Yeah.
Some cheese, some onion.
Ugh.
And then you also got to get
indigestion.
Back then it was $1. It was $1.75 for a bag of Fritos. So you got Frito pie afterwards.
That's right.
That's how... And so, yeah, that was after baseball practice. It was a quick and easy meal, and that was summertime. So that does, I do. But I agree with you on chili by itself is for wintertime.
Yes.
Okay.
It's more about the vessel that it's being delivered on rings summertime to me. Because I'm not cooking up just a bowl of chili by itself tonight.
You're not doing canned chili right now. On the dog, is what you're saying.
Yeah,
okay.
The homemade chili comes out when it's cold outside.
Fair.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm talking about like that. That is the simplest summertime struggle.
So no bubble guts for you after the chili dog?
Oh, I didn't say that I didn't pay for it later.
Okay. So you're willing to take the consequence.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's all about enjoying it in the moment.
That's
I'll deal with whatever happens later. It's just like a Saturday night. I'll deal with the repercussions Sunday morning.
Oh, I've heard about your repercussions the next day.
Yeah, everybody has.
I feel like chili dogs were a once a week thing at my house. Like once a week we had them. And my wife has never been a fan of chili dogs.
Yeah.
So
it's
never happened around our house until she was out of town. And Dad said, hey,
it's chili dog time.
And when I'd made them for the kids, they loved it.
Well, of course.
They were like, this is fantastic. They loved it. I had to call my mom, though, and say, hey, which brand of chili did we
use? That's crucial.
Yeah.
You needed to go to the bullpen, make a phone call to the dugout. Hey, how does this work?
And I do add a little mustard to it to give it some tang, a little ketchup, and maybe some
a little spice.
Yeah, a little cayenne to throw off the kids a little bit. That's fair. That's the way to do it
Guilty
there.
Guilty pleasure food.
Huh. Usually, I mean, this is usually very easily Cheetos. Are usually a very guilty pleasure.
Oh, it can be a snack, too?
That's my game day snack. If I'm going to go for a guilty pleasure meal, I'm going for pizza. It's the all meats pizza.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm not a cheese in the crust guy.
No.
My kids, they have to have it. But man, Marco's has some good pizza, dude. And so, yeah, it's pizza's guilty because I don't eat it all that often. I tried it because my kids love it.
Yeah,
they want it every Thursday night.
Right, like, passage for a child. Man, I mean, I would say McDonald's, but
some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's right next door to the station. So who am I kidding?
Dude.
Who am I kidding?
When we were working nights, it was so easy to be like, I don't need to make dinner. I'll just stop at the McDonald's right next. It's a McDonald's Chevron, and I'll just get some McDonald's on the way in.
Yeah, and I do that every now and then if I let a couple alarms get slept through and I don't have time to have some breakfast at the house. It's right there. I instead of taking the first right turn, I take the second, I hop in the drive through, and I get myself a couple, like bacon, egg, and cheese biscuits or something.
Boy, you are speaking my language.
Okay,
right
I'm changing
now.
This. Okay. I'm changing it.
Okay.
Pizza's too easy. Like, that's just
it's a layup.
That's
I mean, I'm kind of on the same page.
Have you ever taken chocolate chip Eggo waffles or blueberry? God.
Where's this going?
Smother some peanut butter on it.
I like
smother some
that.
Jelly on it and make yourself an Eggo sandwich.
I mean, I haven't, but it sounds delightful.
That's innovation that excites right there. I like that.
When you don't have bread, you got to find something as a vessel for peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah.
And so one day, actually, my grandma, so this is weird. My grandma used to make me waffle breakfast sandwiches. You know, like she was like, hey, here's a... What is it? McDonald's does the...
Yeah, bacon, egg, and cheese. Oh, the McGriddle?
Yeah, the McGriddle.
Okay.
And she'd make that, and she would put jelly on there. Jelly, sausage, cheese, and egg.
Yeah.
And I was like, jelly with... And then I ate it, and I was like, Grandma, you know what you're doing. Rest in peace, Grandma.
R.I.P. Graham. You know what? Panda Express.
Okay.
Does that count?
Yeah.
Panda
Express.
That
definitely counts.
Orange chicken. I'll tell you what, I ate it the other day. Look, I'm on the Oski Woski summer detox, and
I don't know what Oski Woski means. I heard
marijuana.
From Outkast. Okay, gotcha.
Marijuana. but you heard it from Outkast. Yeah. Is that what you're getting ready to say?
That's where I first heard Oski Woski.
Oski Woski, Peasky Weasky. So I'm on the Oski Woski, Peasky Weasky summer detox, and I have I'll tell you what, my diet has improved dramatically since. That said, I was eating a lot of Panda Express. When you eat Panda Express, when you're just in your normal state of mind, totally different flavor is all I'm going to say.
It's the same with Jack in the Box.
Same with Jack in the Box, Taco Bell. You guys know where I'm going with this. But yeah, I'll say this and I'll shut up. I had Panda Express the other day. Wildly underwhelming.
Ooh.
Wildly under, and I'm an orange chicken fried rice. Give me some crab rangoons and a couple. Now look, did I eat everything? Of course I did. Of course I did.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I was taught you eat everything on your plate, and that's exactly what I did.
Clean plate's a happy plate.
A clean plate's a happy plate. That's exactly right. Or you know, or as my grandpa used to do, may he rest in peace. Didn't get to drink anything until you finished your plate.
Ooh.
Like, yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's my. I tell you what. It's borderline child abuse. You ever had hillbilly stew without anything to drink? My God.
Geez. What's in hillbilly stew?
Van Camp beans and ground beef.
Okay.
Yeah. Try eating that without sucking anything down. Yeah. My God. Thanks, Gramps. Thanks.
That sounds good, though.
Well,
I could do that right now.
Sounds like something Chiafalo brings up to the studio in all the Tupperware.
I think I've seen Chiafalo eat something like that before.
I think he actually consumes that on the daily, if we're being honest. Guys, I want to know, outside of your favorite guilty pleasure foods, 877-881-1053, keep those coming in. Some great options here from the 940. Very specific. Double Dave's Buffalo Chicken Pizza. Fair. And pepperoni rolls.
Double Dave's so good at everything, though.
Let's see. I see some Eggo waffles coming in. Nice. Taco Bell has come in here from the 972.
See, Double Dave's, real quick, Double Dave's pizza rolls they're fantastic. When Kevin gets called out for calling pizza rolls for the poor, he's talking about the Totino's, which, listen, again, $2.79 for a bag of 160. I mean, so... he's bougie. He likes the Double Dave's pizza roll compared to the Totino's. So if y'all are all like, if you, now that you understand,
I'm a milk snob, so I get it.
Oh, how do you become a milk snob? What? By the way, you said you drink milk every day. I haven't had a glass of milk since like I was a kid. Because my friend told me a long time ago, your bones are fully developed. You don't need milk anymore. And I was like, oh, okay. And so I just decided to not drink milk anymore.
No, I disagree with that.
But milk, and again, never broken a bone, as we discussed earlier. So I don't know how this works. But how are you a milk snob? Is it Horizon?
I like organic milk.
Is it the Horizon with the little cow jumping over?
I mean, that's like
$5
bucks for a quart, which that's way too much. Because I drink too much of it. I'll drink a quart in a setting.
It's milkman.
Oh, I am the milkman. Okay.
Thank you.
That's going to win tomorrow.
Just a reminder, 1:30 tomorrow. You will not want to miss that. I got a story to get to, but we do have a little bit of trade deadline news coming from Jeff Passan as of right now. The Detroit Tigers finalizing a deal to acquire closer Kyle Finnegan from the Washington Nationals. Another leverage arm is off the board as of about 30 seconds ago. So there you go. But guys, was this an honest mistake, or was somebody trying to create something potentially special? High Noon and Celsius are very incredibly popular options for people to, you know, catch some sort of buzz, two very different kinds of buzz. But a mix-up has sparked a recall.
Oh, no!
After the hard seltzer managed to make its way into some of the energy drink cans at a processing plant. It's hard to believe that it's been, what, like 6 years since the summer of hard seltzer turned the alcohol industry just like absolutely upside down. And now High Noon has set itself apart as one of the very popular brands. On the other side of the coin, energy drinks have really blown up. I just threw away an empty can of one that I just downed. Shout out to C4. Hey, the segment needs a sponsor.
Absolutely. Yeah. C4, get your stuff together.
I would love to make that happen. But High Noon and Celsius are probably the biggest names of their respective like product ideologies here. They get made in the same processing plant, apparently. And High Noon Seltzer was getting dispensed into a very specific flavor of Celsius cans by accident, sparking a recall by the FDA just yesterday. They discovered that cans marked as Celsius were being filled with vodka soda in its 12-can variety packs that were ultimately distributed to retailers in Florida, New York, Ohio, South Carolina, Virginia, and Wisconsin. So you might want to double check your Celsius drinks. If they're tasting like they got a little bit of extra kick, you might be catching the wrong kind of buzz.
My wife will frequently have some, you know, Topo Chico or whatever drinks, hard seltzers around.
Yeah.
And the other day, my kid came in and he cracked a can open and I was like, hey, chill out. What is that? And he was like, I don't think it has alcohol in it. No, and he started drinking. And it was just a seltzer water. So everything turned out okay.
Was this a 17-year-old that did
it? No, it was my 13-year-old. Oh. Coming up next here on the KNC Masterpiece, Shotty's Foul Mouth. Comes by it honestly. Even Eminem said so in Gridiron Gravy on The Fan. Hey, we are back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Corey Majors alongside Fred Davis. He is sitting in for Kevin Hagelin. Who's sitting in for you on the night show?
It's musical chairs,
just,
I think.
Just let Blake rock.
And we're all over the place. I mean, so like this week, we're on 7 to 8 tonight and tomorrow because of the West Coast trips. I want to say Khaki Kevin Walker.
Okay, all right.
Is
going
to be Khaki on Kevin with Blake tonight.
I heard you say that the other day, and it cracked me up. The I know that shift. I know that schedule. It's not and for the like heart. We had it on our KNC Twitter. If you want to follow us at KNC1053, we had on there. Here is our schedule for this season.
Yeah.
And just so during football season, it's a little weird, but yeah, man, that's I get it.
Football, it kind of evens out a little bit, right?
We used to have Westwood One. So we had Mondays and Thursday night football and it was it was a little bit of chaos and then it changed. But yeah, man, baseball season's fun. So catch Fred and Blake and the group.
And we're on the weekends a lot too.
Yes.
And so Blake and I'll be on, Sunday from 10 to 3.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about. Right now, it's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy. Dip it and rip it.
You a gravy guy? We argue about that on the show. I'm not a gravy guy.
I'm not a huge brown gravy person.
Yeah.
Now, back in high school, if you got the Salisbury steak and the roll and the
Hungry
potatoes.
Man?
No, at school.
Oh,
no, whatever they did, whatever they served, if it was the steak fingers or whatever, just put it all on there and the brown gravy. But white gravy
sounds awful.
With biscuits and gravy for breakfast, sausage gravy, I'll take that anytime.
Ugh.
The dude, you know what? I know what's interesting about great. Oh man,
go ahead. We're already off. We're off and running.
Our old producer DJ is the reason it's gridiron gravy.
Because he loved gravy?
We're trying to come up with something other than around the NFL.
Right. Hey now.
No, well, it was...
I mean, that unoriginal name, am I right?
We were just trying to come up with something different.
Never mind.
And he suggested it. He was like, I said, gridiron. And he goes, well, we talk a lot about food.
Yes.
And then he was like, let's make it gravy.
I love it.
And I was like, awesome. So that's how it is. If anybody ever wanted to know.
You ever heard the, your mama's so fat? When she broke her leg, gravy poured out.
That's such a good.
Saw her walking down the street, kicking a can. I said, "What are you doing?" She said, "Moving." You brought something to the table regarding Schottenheimer's mouth yesterday. Whenever he told everybody, "All right, y'all want to fight? Let's effing fight. Line up on the sidelines. It's time to run." And he told us the other day he's a casual swearer.
Yeah. They said he cusses a lot, though.
He does.
Yeah.
No, when I say casual, I don't mean it as like occasionally.
Right.
It's just because
I'm
part
a casual cursor.
Yeah. It's part of his verbiage.
Yeah.
That was one of the questions. We had Mark Folliwell come into my class at UNT. One of the first questions they asked, or one of the other students asked, was, how do you keep from cussing on air? Because you're cussing
people
a lot in this class right now.
Asking that question.
And he was like, well, it's because I'm a professional.
That's it. Thank you, Mark Folliwell. That is, people just can't, people that don't work in this industry, and look, I'm not taking anything away from people that don't, but they just can't wrap their brain around the fact that you know how when to cuss and when not to cuss.
Exactly. You pointed out that he comes by this naturally. Can you explain?
Hey, man, look, I'm going to put it to you like this. Marty Schottenheimer, his dad, who, again, if you don't know and you don't listen to the night show, shame on you, but I get it. It's late at night. Marty was well known for having a filthy mouth when it came to cursing, to the point where his cursing is so well known and so well documented that even Slim Shady, Chicka Chicka Slim Shady,
Happy Gilmore 2
actor, included it in a rap song.
What you thought it wasn't, it means the brothers representing the 30 dozen. I beat the F-I-O, the double K. And check out my man, he goes by the name of Bunker.
Slim Shady, brain dead like Jim Brady. I'm a M80, you little like that Kim lady. I'm buzzing, Dirty Dozen, naughty rotten rhymer. Cursing that you play is worse than Marty Schottenheimer.
Okay, so hold on. Did he do that just because it rhymed, or did he make that rhyme because of Marty Schottenheimer's mouth?
I mean, look, you just let the pen do what it does. Now, that said,
comes from a man that writes for an hour every morning.
Slim Shady was born in Kansas City and was a Chiefs fan before he moved to Detroit. That's well documented. All right, that is well documented. He was a Chiefs fan back in the 80s and 90s before he moved to Detroit. So. And it's a perfect, I mean, dirty, rotten rhymer. There's only so many words you can rhyme with dirty, rotten rhymer. Cursing at your players worse than Brian Schottenheimer.
There you go. Yeah. Okay. I think he needs to revise the song now.
How many, and look, I can't wait to ask, and I don't think any, I mean, I haven't heard anybody else bring it up in local media yet about the fact that, you know, Brian, do your players know that your dad is so well known that he was used in an Eminem rap song back in the day?
That is a fantastic question when you get that opportunity to
just
talk
saying.
To him. And anytime you talk to a Cowboys player, you should ask them that.
100%.
One of the top stories from yesterday regarding the NFL, Cam Ward. He said, our offense is very mid right now. Mm. He said, from legit, my position dude. To up front to the receivers, at the end of the day, it all starts with me. I just don't think we're at where we need to be. But we got a little time. Every day we get better as a whole. We're a young team, but that's no excuse.
Yeah.
Tennessee is always mid to me. I've always said they bore me. They're off. The history of the Titans has bored me. Their color scheme.
You're not wrong. I mean, even when, you know, our boy Steve McNair, may he rest in peace.
Yep.
Did you watch that documentary, by the way?
I did. Yeah.
We did. There's
something missing.
It was such a poorly done documentary. First of all, it gave you nothing new.
Yep.
Okay, and oh, by the way, the dude that sold old girl the gun, so we're not going to look more into him?
Where's the depth on that?
I mean, we're just...
It didn't make sense at all.
There was some questioning, but she went ahead and did it. I mean, what a crap, what a poorly... And I'm a documentary guy.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, have you seen the Billy Joel documentary?
I have not. It worth it? It was on the other day while I was at the gym, and I was like, ooh, should I check this out? I like Billy Joel.
Hat tip to Tim Collins.
Oh, he suggested it.
Do you follow him on Facebook?
Yes.
Have you seen his movie reviews?
Yeah. He's good at it.
He's literally
he knows what he's doing.
Siskel and Ebert of movie reviews here at the radio station. My God. Okay.
So he suggested that, and you were like, all right, I'm in.
He suggested that, and Gavin Spittle suggested the TLC
documentary. I bet that one's a good one, too.
I'll go chasing waterfalls, boys.
I need to go watch some more documentaries. The Baltimore Ravens are making the biggest splash in the NFL. Compliments of the most decorated Olympian of all time, Michael Phelps.
ADD himself.
He has now agreed to teach the Ravens how to swim.
What a guy.
He is a Baltimore native, huge Ravens fan, won the, 23 gold Olympic medals.
He's won a bunch.
The Ravens reached out on Tuesday when Marlon Humphrey posted a video on social media asking the swimming great for his help. And so Humphrey, offensive tackle Ronnie Stanley, Kyle Hamilton, and Charlie Kohler filmed themselves in the team's new pool, lining up in single file before diving side by side. They collectively said one out of three Ravens players don't know how to swim. Humphrey said, we got a problem that only you can fix. And Michael Phelps replied, I got y'all. Let's do it.
You'd be amazed at the number of people in the Navy that can't swim.
Oh, man.
True story.
Why would I be afraid to get on a boat if I couldn't swim?
Well, I mean, you got an inflatable vest, but still.
No, even still, I feel like I got to kick my feet.
Well, it's activated by the salt water.
Okay, that makes sense.
Now, look, are you probably lunched anyway? Chances are, but still, nonetheless.
Coming up next here on the KNC Masterpiece, it's time to dive in on some more Rangers discussions. Let's check out what's going on with the trade deadline right now on The Fan.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.